DC, DC, Marvel, baby, yes. Justice League, Valiant, Dark One. What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, what? We don't give a, as long as them pages are hot. And it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay! Why am I yay?
Do we not have the music anymore?
Because I had the chat window open. That's what the newfangled Google effects, Google Hangout interface is doing. I'm a little discombobulated right now.
We take 1 week off and everything changes.
Seriously.
I grew a beard.
He really did, people.
In 1 week.
For those watching on video.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yes, it is Halloween. Halloween spooktacular. Sure came up with some, like, Halloween theme for the episode, but I'm not that creative.
Anybody else got a quick costume to put on? Anybody?
At least costume.
So this is episode 43 of the Comic Book Chronicles. We took last week off because I was busy.
Oh, it was a bye week. We needed the day. We needed the break.
Yeah, but did you actually use it to catch up on anything?
Some.
I don't buy it.
If I actually was available over the weekend, I would have, but I've actually almost caught up with everything. The only thing I'm back on are like the Image books. I'm kind of like still maybe two weeks behind on some of the Image stuff and Valiant, but that's it. But anyway, this is the Comic Book Chronicles, and you can find us on our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and much more. And like I said, that's theclicknation.com. We have a Twitter account. You can also follow at theclicknation, like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. We're on Google Plus. Just search for theclicknation, and also sure to join the community and just search for theclicknation community. We're on YouTube, youtube.com/theclicknation. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And also make sure to check out comicrelated.com, who houses our comic book podcast. And they have a whole host of other comic-related podcasts at their comic-related podcasting network. So just go to comicrelated.com. So, like we said, we took last week off, and we'll try to compile the news from last week and this week in our news segment.
We are back from the bye week.
Right now. How was everyone's bye week, by the way?
Restful.
Good.
Restful. I kid you not, I definitely did, you know, what NFL players do during the bye week and just take it off. I read not nearly as much as I should have. I'm not caught up, I admit, but I'm well rested, so I'm good.
Good. Pretty much same here. It's been a little bit busy with work and whatnot, but I did have some time to kind of read some stuff, but I deliberately waited to not read some books, and that fell apart. So, but everything's good.
So question now, is the sound effects gone now with the new Hangout?
No, the thing's still there.
Is it? Okay.
You don't hear it?
I didn't hear anything.
Huh?
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
I did my whole spiel and it didn't feel the same.
Really? I was clicking the whole time.
Can you hear
it? I can hear it.
Did you hear that one? Anything.
Maybe you have to have effects turned on.
Huh. So what's it called? Which app is it? Oh, Google Effects?
Yeah.
So y'all didn't hear that? It.
Nope, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, wow.
You can hear?
Well, I just did it on my end, and I heard it, but if you guys didn't hear it, that was...
That's weird.
I can hear you talking, but I don't hear any of the sound effects.
Right.
Weird. Maybe it's a setting?
Sounds. Okay, I just did the clapping, but...
Nope.
More was on my side. That's odd. Maybe it's a bug they got to fix.
Probably.
No, that stinks. That really stinks because I was playing it the whole time. I was ching-changing the whole time. I was like, chang-chang, and you hear a damn thing.
Oh, well.
That's crazy. Am I muting it? No.
No, because I did it on my side and no one else heard it either. So yeah,
that is just weird.
It did just get released or updated this week, so maybe by the time next week's show rolls around, we'll hear our signature sounds.
I hope so.
But to news. Let's see. There was no new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. It was a repeat of the first episode. And I don't remember what happened last week, so
I don't know.
Anyone want to say anything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from last week?
I mean, I can mention real quick. I mean, all it was let's see, an old agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. who supposedly went missing ended up popping back up.
Oh, like a rogue agent, right.
Right. But it turns out that agent was a pawn in a slightly bigger scheme, and they were... adapted, I guess, and had new eyes for something that helped him pull off crimes or whatnot. And then so Coulson went in because he felt that it was his agent, so he had to do it. And the team went in, saved her. And then at the end, they basically took out the prosthetics that the girl had put in and was being used by because it had a bomb in it. And after that, there was leaving, and she comes up with basically saying, hey, is Coulson all right? What'd they do to him? And then dun-dun-dun, and it just kind of got left at that.
I do remember the villain was given the codename Scorch.
Oh, wait. Damn it. That's the wrong one. I'm thinking 2 weeks ago. You're right.
That was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, the woman Scorch. So that's a total – everything I just said was really, really stupid because that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
so, it's okay.
So this is a girl in a flower dress. Basically, Scorch. There was a street performer in China. He may be gifted. They really never really clear about that, but they did use that word. And he was approached by this really nice young lady in a flower dress. Was told, "Hey, you're special. You got things going on. We can help you expand that." So, needless to say. She went with him. He got taken. S.H.I.E.L.D. got brought in to look for him because S.H.I.E.L.D. already knew about him. And it goes back to basically the beginning where Extremis gets involved because they pretty much pumped Extremis into him to extend his powers. He ended up going a little nutty because he was got tired of being used. And it was resolved. Pretty much by in the usual extremist way by him exploding spoiler, excuse me. But
right. I thought it was an okay episode. I liked it. I have a couple of notes. The actor who played Scorch was the same played the rogue agent or the enemy agent in the Bourne Legacy opposite Jeremy Renner. And I also went to high school with him. So
oh, nice.
It's a small world.
I can still say I haven't seen the show since the pilot episode. And I have noticed that all the news reports keep talking about how the ratings keep going down and down and down and down and down every week.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell because they don't have superheroes.
Apparently.
They don't. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, apparently for the was it the 18 to 48 demo or whatever it is, it's still doing pretty good as far as like that age group goes. Mm-hmm. But overall, like the ratings are down almost 2 full points from when it premiered. And like it was a 4.7 when it premiered. Now it's down to like a 2.6 was the last time it was up. And so and the they said the weird thing is a lot of the other shows, you know, they premiere, of course, huge, and they go right down, and then they kind of come back up a little bit by the time you get into like the fifth week. Whereas with S.H.I.E.L.D., they haven't had that kind of bump back up.
It didn't wave.
Yeah.
It might still, because, you know, they're probably seeing that and maybe rejigging the lineup, you know, trying to put in, you know, guest appearances and maybe more showy episodes. I have a feeling that's what's in store.
Yeah, I mean, they've ordered a full season, so it's not like it's going to disappear, you know. Right, I mean, right. They're still going to make the episodes, but it very well could turn into one of those things where you get 12 episodes on ABC, and then it's on ABC Family for the rest of the season, you know.
Oh, I hope not. That would suck.
It would.
Disney XD.
I wouldn't be surprised if they started showing, you know, reruns on Disney XD, but not, you know, not first run episodes.
I could see it on ABC Family before that, though. But regardless, so there was that, and we also had 2 new episodes of Arrow, the far superior show. Remember what happened last week? Who was the villain last week? I don't even remember.
It was so memorable. So such a memorable show.
But this week, they introduced the Black Canary and hinted at the League of Assassins, which will actually appear next episode.
Bum, bum, bum.
So the guest stars are coming fast and furious.
Well, I guess they did kind of hint around that they were going to be doing that this season. So
yeah. So have that to look forward to next episode.
Going back to the S.H.I.E.L.D., I kind of want to have a little longer discussion on it, but that is not one for right now, and that's probably for later in the season, particularly after Thor comes out for reasons.
For reasons?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel you on that. I understand. I think it's probably best to hold off just to wait until Thor comes out and see if there's any more tie-ins.
Yeah.
So let's see, I guess I can jump to, well, before I jump to talking about movie stuff, just more TV news that from actually last week. Marvel planning massive TV expansion.
Chang Chang.
Yeah.
Chang.
The Disney wheel keeps a turning.
I'm telling you, we need to, wait, hold on. Can someone who's watching tweet us at hashtag Comic Book Chronicles and let us know if our sound effects are actually coming through. So anyone out there who's watching on Google Hangouts, let us know and tweet us.
Looks like Dork Geekus is listening. But let's see, I got the link up finally for the IGN article about the TV expansion. So Deadline is reporting that Marvel is quietly putting together a package of 4 new live-action drama series and a miniseries that will be sold together to one outlet. They name Netflix, Amazon, and WGN America as potential candidates. And let's see. Blah, blah. So supposedly, this comes on the heels of Marvel and ABC developing an Agent Carter's series based around Haley Atwell's Captain America character. And that's about it.
Okay.
Okay, next up we have... So there were some Ben Kingsley rumors going around that he's working on a secret project for Marvel. Possibly another Marvel one-shot reprising his role as the Mandarin from Iron Man 3.
Right.
Think they'd do that for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I guess people are speculating it's going to tie into, like, supposedly, like, the real Mandarin's going to, you know, sort of shows up to confront the fraud. Is the idea. At least that's what people are believing it could be. It would be nice. I guess it would make sense to maybe use Mandarin in the TV series because at the moment they don't plan on using on doing any more Iron Man solo movies, so it's not like he'd pop up again in the movie universe.
True enough.
Right.
Use him in a TV show. Unless Ben Kingsley just doesn't want to do TV acting. Which is possible. Pay the man.
Hey.
Let's see. So, I jumped to movie stuff. We, of course, this past week, we got the Captain America Winter Soldier trailer. Did everyone see it?
Nope.
No.
No. Wow. Wow.
You liars.
No.
Nope,
no,
I'm telling the truth. Yeah.
Who's got time for half of anything? Jeez.
What's the matter with that?
This is big business. Well, you're supposed to be tuned in and waiting for these trailers to drop.
Well, here's my thing with it. Like, they're plugging Captain America and Thor hasn't even come out. Like, it's like, all right, they're already on Christmas and Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet, you know, to use that. And I understand you got to get ahead of it, but come on, you got one that's just right around the corner.
Ching,
that
ching.
Is next week, in fact.
Yeah.
They had to release it so they could put it in front of the Thor.
Yeah.
Trailer, yeah.
Well, see, now, so I'm thinking it seemed like they was making a bigger deal out of Captain America movie than the Thor movie. It seemed like, even though they have done, you know, Thor trailers and whatnot.
I'm willing to bet they're, you know, they think that Cap is going to eventually be the bigger franchise.
Well, the trailer is awesome, by the way.
Okay.
All right. Let me see.
Did you load YouTube just so you could watch it now?
Uh-oh.
Dirt?
I think he froze.
Dirt? No, he's blinking.
Oh, okay. No.
He's watching YouTube, I think.
Oh, that's why we can hear him.
Oh wait, so yeah. You guys don't see the video I'm seeing?
No.
No.
I think we have to load the YouTube app.
I think
to see it too.
Hmm.
It's the YouTube. I'm connecting to YouTube right now. Welcome to YouTube and Hangouts.
YouTube gadget.
Okay, now I see YouTube. It.
Okay, but then the problem is the people watching at home can't see it.
Yeah, they
so
can't
they can
see
just
it.
Watch
right.
us.
Well, let's reshare our
watch screen. Us watch it.
I was about to say, you could do a, you, I was thinking, because I was going to try this with
a
something
screen
else.
Share?
Yeah.
Let's try. So, for those watching and listening at home, we're all on YouTube watching the trailer now. And I can't believe my co-hosts have not seen this yet. We're all being quiet because we're all mesmerized by the glory that is Cap and S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury explosions. If you're watching live, make sure to tweet us at Comic Book Chronicles. Let us know your thoughts on the Captain America, the Winter Soldier trailer.
Oh, shnikes.
As we see Falcon, Cap and Winter Soldier fighting. And a helicarrier crashing.
Okay, I'm pretty jazzed. That's
it's
pretty
not over
cool.
yet.
That's pretty cool.
And
I'm
we're
pretty
done.
Jazzed. Okay, I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was good.
I can't believe you guys haven't seen this yet. Hey. We host a comic book podcast.
Yeah, but not a good one.
Oh, especially since I have to go back. When I upload the audio for this, I have to go back and edit out the silence just for just in there looking.
That's comedy.
That is comedy. It's all right. I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
So
Dirt's middle name is
Meh.
So, Dirt Geek has tweeted at us, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had such potential. I wonder if the ABC Disney/Disney muted it.
Okay, I was going to mention that. You can kind of say, yes, it is, after all, still Disney and ABC. So, you got to think there's going to be a little bit of watering down.
Why? Why would they want to water it down?
Because it's ABC and Disney?
Yeah, I know, well, but what's...
I mean, the violence?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
in terms of the violence and like some of the, you know, the more, I guess, you know, espionage type, you know, aspects of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I mean, okay, here's the question, I guess, then. Why would they be against it being a superhero show? Like, why are they so against having Marvel characters be central to the show? And instead making it this random group of people that you don't necessarily care about.
Maybe they want to save that stuff for the movies.
Yeah, where they can guarantee that you're paying for it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they still have...
And in this case, they can still keep it in the world and maybe, you know, push back into it in little ways, but they don't want it to go on TV because not everybody's going to... I mean, not necessarily that everybody's going to watch the movies either, but... At this point, there are more people watching the movies than will be interested in a show, regardless how deep they put it in. It would be nice for our standpoint, you know, because we like the franchise and whatnot. It would be, yeah, it would be great for us, but I think they're thinking mass appeal.
Right. I just think they want to make the money in the movie theater, and the TV show is basically there to bridge the gap between the movies. So what I was thinking, what I originally thought, you meant, Roddy Cat, when you mentioned the talking about this after Thor comes out is, you know, I don't know what kind of presence S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have in the Thor movie. I don't think it's going to have much of a presence at all, since it's going to be mostly dealing with Malekith and lots of dark elves and stuff.
Right.
So, you know, this may be, you know, a way to kind of establish S.H.I.E.L.D. and now we see that S.H.I.E.L.D. has a huge presence in the Cap movie. You know, obviously it makes sense. So maybe if it ties into anything, it'll be the Cap movie.
Well, yeah, and the trailer shows that clearly. Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. is all up in that movie. And then as far as the Thor movie, I think just like they kind of have been for continuity's sake, they will probably make some allusions to it, which I'm thinking that's where the Coulson thing may or may not come in. Right. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence with that one. But there will probably be some, at least they will mention it in some sort of fashion in Thor.
I mean, I guess for me, as far as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show, I was really hoping that you'd see some other parts of the Marvel Universe. You'd see guys who, you know, like Stiltman is never going to be in the movies, you know? But Rhino may or may not be in a movie at some point, but you could take characters like that and just throw them into the show. Have S.H.I.E.L.D. agents fighting some of those villains, and it's like, well, how would you deal with
I think a lot of those characters are subject to some of the contractual obligations that have been, you know, that have been drawn up, you know, to divvy up the characters in terms of like the movie universes.
Right.
So I have a feeling that, you know, most, if not all, of the character catalog in terms of the recognizable
Stiltman,
the movies can't call dibs on every single property,
right, but,
Marvel property.
No, but the thing is, the short-sighted lawyers probably drew it up that way, trying to get as many hands on the, you know, in the pie, and as many hands on get the hands on as many characters and intellectual properties they could, and reserve the rights to them so that they could make money off, you know, dealing with these characters. I'm pretty certain that Stiltman probably fell under the Daredevil wing, and Stiltman just came back to Marvel.
Right. Well, see, and the only other thing is that I'm thinking if they're looking long term with this, they probably have plans for more known quantities of villains in the movies. So I'm not saying that they're just sucking them all away just for the movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we saw Graviton in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., who nobody was really thinking about, you know,
right,
in their recent context. But
well, Graviton did make an appearance in Avengers Earth, whatchamacallit, Avengers.
Well, yeah, in the cartoon.
Earth Mightiest Heroes, yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is this is a live action version of. To Dirk's point, they can and probably very well will kind of throw in some other corners of the universe, which is why you saw Graviton that early on. And they're still kind of hashing out. While they still haven't really mentioned AIM or any real definite bad guy, we know they're there, and they're probably being brought up.
They used extremists, what, 3 times already, or mentioned.
Right, and they used the group. The last time they even mentioned the group by name, which in this last episode, matter of fact, they called it Centipede and not, mm-hmm. you know, AIM or any other known quantity.
Right. Well, I have a feeling they're using extremists a lot now is because they can't call anyone a mutant, so they're using another means of giving people powers.
Right, that's where the gifted thing came in a while back.
I mean, I guess my thing is when I look at a TV show like Arrow, for instance, I don't particularly watch it because it's a CW, you know, styled show, but when I look at what's happening in that show and you get Deathstroke and you get Black Canary and you get... you know, all of these characters that are tied in. And it's like, we have the Avengers, we've got S.H.I.E.L.D., and we're not getting, I don't see names on the marquee that make me go, oh man, now I got to tune in and check out and see that character. You know what I mean? Right. It's like these agents, I don't care enough about that I'm excited to watch the show. And it's set in this Marvel movie universe, but they're not giving you any Marvel characters. So I'm just like, that's why I haven't really watched any of the episodes. Cause I'm not excited to see these people.
Right.
You know, I want to see who they run into, and they're not really running into anybody.
Well, supposedly, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but there was an article I saw.
Ding, spoiler.
Yeah, really. Where supposedly Jasper Sitwell might make an appearance.
Oh, so, and...
Wasn't the guy from Arrested Development that didn't have the hair, had to wear the wig, didn't have the eyebrows?
That was the lawyer.
Wait.
Sitwell. He was the other housing development guy.
Yeah. And Roddy Cat just reminded me that I did see an article talking about Victoria Hand is supposed to appear later in the season.
Okay.
So they are going for pulls. Like they're going for some deep pulls, and they're also going for some lesser known but relevant pulls. So I think as time goes by, they could do it. We don't know whether they will or not.
And they really should have Maria Hill on this show, if we're being...
I mean, she has made an appearance.
Yeah.
I mean, she should be a cast member.
She also has another TV show.
So. Yeah, she's tied up in How I Met Your Mother, and that still got this on this last season, so she might show up after that. And plus, she's kind of already there if you think about Melinda May in a way, because she's kind of acting in that role to Coulson in sorts.
All right, so that's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. talk for tonight. And Dirk Geek's tweets, S.H.I.E.L.D. could have AIM or the sons of the serpent. Not sure why Centipede has been created.
They still could.
I'm going to assume Centipede is linked to the...
Hydra.
Yeah, Hydra somehow.
I agree. I think that's going to be a key connection.
Okay, so more news... Captain America, the Winter Soldier trailer, and not to be left behind, Fox released this week the X-Men Days of Future Past trailer.
Yeah, we're not going to watch that together, right?
No. Especially since it wasn't good.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it, so, and that's all Doug Geekes mentioned about it being horror bad.
So, yeah, I mean, some people liked it. I put it that way.
Yeah,
it's nothing. If you've been keeping up with all the little stuff, Brian Singer has been releasing the last couple months. He's been releasing like images and short little 5 or 10 second, 10 second clips. Yeah, snippets. So it's a lot of the same stuff.
just to kind of keep the buzz up.
There's no supposedly it's the same trailer they showed at San Diego or New York Comic Con, one of the two.
Okay.
And there's no Sentinels in it, so
yeah. But see, here's the thing: the reason why, and I have no reason to justify this, but the reason why I wasn't really watching I wasn't going to watch the Catwoman, the same reason why I wasn't going to watch Days of Future Past, because I'm pretty much already invested. I was going to watch those movies one way or the other. So okay. That was the only reason why I really didn't care to watch them. But hey, I'm glad I did for that one at least.
Okay, but yeah, go make sure to check that out. The Days of Future Past trailer. It's on YouTube, I'm sure. More news.
Oh, man.
I'm going to skip this bit. Get to some important stuff. Okay, so more movie things with Avengers Age of Ultron. So instead of just providing his voice for Ultron, James Spader is going to be doing motion capture work. So he just won't be sitting in a studio lending his voice to Ultron.
Hey, that's a thing nowadays.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm trying to decide which ones to jump to. DC is moving their offices to Burbank, California, from New York City. That was a big thing this week.
Going back to Cali.
I made that reference too.
I asked the question, what was the relevancy of this to, like, the reader? And there really is, we won't be able to tell a difference. And as William B. West told me on Twitter, you know, back in the day, the creators could just run back and forth from the different companies in New York, from Marvel offices to DC offices, and get work.
Right.
But now DC is moving across the country.
I don't think most people live in the greater New York metropolitan area anymore. Everything's done on Skype or
email,
Google Hangouts or fax machines. Some people still have fax and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so much stuff is done digitally and uploaded to FTP servers and, you know, sent around like that. So I don't think it even really matters where they're physically located. But I was having a discussion with somebody one time, I don't know, a year or so ago. And I said, one of the things that I always liked about DC over Marvel was the fact that it seems like everything in Marvel takes place in New York. You know, all the big books are centered around New York. And as someone that doesn't live in New York and doesn't necessarily care about New York, it's like, it's nice to have books that are set in other places that kind of expand the universe and draw you out from, you know, the greater New York metropolitan area. And
Who is?
So here's my theory on what I believe the move is for. And this is kind of a dated notion at this point. Hollywood is there, and therefore maybe DC thought that, okay, well, since Hollywood's here and they're trying to do all the movie and TV stuff now, they need to be closer to where the stuff actually happens. Like, that was a notion that used to be the case
even in years. I don't think that's a secret.
My understanding was that because Warner Brothers is down in Southern California, right, they were basically moving operations closer to the, you know, the parent offices.
And Jim Lee and Geoff Johns are in Burbank.
But the thing is, Warner Brothers has owned DC for a while now, right? So it seemed like that would have happened before now.
But supposedly they're trying to interweave the company more. Like they've got someone who's
close, right.
Yeah, and the divisions between who produces comics and who produces the animated features and who produces the TV shows, like all of that is trying to be more interwoven. And we're seeing, like, with the animated stuff, they just did Flashpoint. They're getting ready to do the first Justice League arc. Like, they're starting to use the storylines of New 52 as the ongoing animated. So they're tying some of the stuff in with the movies. It seems like they're, you know, trying to get everything more interwoven and involved with each other.
Synergized.
And people speculate that the move would happen when DC Entertainment was created in the first place. It just took them like 4 years to get to it.
Right. I just feel bad for the folks who may not relocate, you know, people who are staffers who just don't have the wherewithal to relocate to Southern Cali. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, they're the only ones really affected by all this. Right.
And they'll probably still telecommute or whatever happened if they were important enough to the company to, well, I shouldn't say it like that, but
right.
Call it what
it is. Their jobs are even able to do that. That's
right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm saddened by it. You know, as much as I don't like what Joe Quesada says a lot, he said, well, you know, it's kind of sucky for comics because there's something to be said, you know, kind of the contrarian or the opposite side of Dirt's point of view is that so many comics were just based in New York and, you know, just the comics community was based in New York. It's definitely a loss now that DC is relocated.
Gives me a reason to visit California.
Like, you don't have enough reasons, like the beautiful women? Come on now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
can always use reasons. Reasons, hashtag. So now we're out to comic book portion of news. Get to two Image books that debuted last week to different degrees of, I was going to say success, but both of them had success, but opinions, I should say. Pretty Deadly number one and Velvet number one, both basically sold out all over across the world, going back for reprints. One of the books being ripped up supposedly in the comic book shop in California.
Yeah.
And I'll say I read both books. I enjoyed Velvet more than Pretty Deadly.
I didn't read Velvet. I read Pretty Deadly, and I think about halfway through, I just kind of thought to myself, like, at what point am I supposed to start enjoying this, you know? Like, I read it, and I got to the end of it, and I was just kind of like, I guess it's something, you know? But I wasn't, like, blown away. All these people online were like, oh, this is the greatest book ever. You got to read it. And I was just kind of like, it's, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then apparently some guy in a comic shop was in a conversation with his customers. They asked him what he thought of it. And so he told them that the characters were bland, the story was predictable, whatever. And so he tore up the copy right there. He's like, you know, he just didn't like it. So he rips it up, throws it on the counter. And apparently if you tear up a comic book that is written by a woman, that somehow makes you anti-woman. I don't know. That was the big controversy. How dare he? How dare he rip up a copy of a comic book? Like, I don't get what the big deal is. You know, people have opinions on everything, and if someone doesn't like it, then they don't like it. But I mean, don't cry about it. You know.
I don't think the whole ripping it up was necessary, but to each their own.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, but
if that happens, that was a little extreme. But hey, the things aren't going to happen.
Yeah,
just saying you don't like it is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's extreme, but, I mean, again, who cares?
Yeah, it's a bit much.
You know? I mean, people go over the top with how much they love books sometimes. So if someone goes over the top with how much they don't like it, then who cares? You know?
Right.
And that's how I felt reading the reaction to Pretty Deadly on the internet. The love fest, which is fine, but I was just like, as someone that didn't enjoy it as much as other people, I was just like, I was left wondering if people were really enjoying it as much as they said they were, or was something wrong with me for not enjoying it?
No, it's you, Tim. It's always you.
Here's the thing.
There was no teen angst or people with powers, and the art wasn't that good to me either. Right. People were raving about that.
Here's the thing. This is the internet, and the vocal majority are going to, one way or the other, speak their mind. You know, the people who like her are not always going to be the ones who are going to say anything about it, and the people who don't like her are not always going to be the ones who say about it. The only ones we hear about it are the loudmouths, basically. You know, so whether you don't like the artist or the you know, whether you don't like Kelly Sue the comic, whether you don't like Emma Reels, whether you don't, whatever was going on in it is good or bad. I don't know. I haven't read it yet. Hey, you know, you don't. It's okay not to like stuff, and it's all right if you do like stuff. It's just that we're in a culture right now to where, all right, it's people come out when it's bad. I mean, you know, all the people that say it's bad, it's bad. But when you actually like it, then you're the bad person. It doesn't, one way or another, it doesn't make you a bad person. It just means that, hey, that's your taste. But if you don't like something, oh, you're got a problem. That's not true. There's nothing true about it. Well, it never has been.
And I love the fact that, like, somehow this guy is anti-woman because he doesn't like a comic that women worked on. Right. Like, I don't understand that logic.
And supposedly, from written on in that article, someone else said that he brought out 4 or 5 comics, that being one of them, and basically said, in varying degrees, this is what's wrong with this one, this is what right in this one, this is what's wrong with this one, and kind of took it as a scale of, assuming his opinion or of quality of a book. Mm-hmm. So if indeed he did that, whether he did the ripping of the book or before or at, well, before and or after that, he had his reasons, whatever.
And the other thing I've heard from people, they say, well, he's a retailer.
Right.
He should be trying to sell books. He shouldn't be ripping them up in front of customers. But that kind of goes back to, you know, you have to be honest. And if a customer comes in the store and asks you what you think of a book, and
which
you,
what happened?
If you absolutely hate the book and they ask you that and you rip it up to say that you absolutely hate it, at least you're being honest. You know, you don't lie to the customers. If someone walks into my store and they say, hey, I really want to read the comic, what's the best comic out there? And I say, oh, it's Grimm Fairy Tales 75. We've got 20 copies left here on the shelf. Why don't you buy one? You know, then that person's never going to come back to my store. You know what I mean?
Right. And the other thing about that, it is still subjective. You know, the person asks you your opinion of it, whether you take it or not, it is still their opinion of it. If you go along with it as a trusted source, fine. If you don't, you have the option to do so or not.
Yeah, and that's also a good point, is that they asked his opinion. It wasn't like somebody walked in and they picked up Pretty Deadly and were like, oh, maybe I'll buy this. And he goes, no, you don't want to buy that. That's terrible. You know?
Right.
Somebody or is that said, like he created a Google event, invite people up to the store and what? Okay, everyone gather around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He was asked his opinion. He gave it. You know, it was pretty much blown out of proportion.
Yeah, he wasn't forcing his opinion on other people. People right. asked him and he told them, you know. So, yeah, the whiners and complainers out. Just right.
The fact, yeah, the fact that it even got out to this point is a larger issue, you know?
Well, yeah, and there were people, like, on Facebook, oh, I'm going to boycott his store and blah. It's like, what? Come on.
Right.
Like, let's be honest. You weren't going to that store in the first place.
Right. Didn't Image say they were going to pull all their Image books from that store?
Yeah,
No. They offered a return.
It's Comets Inc. in California somewhere.
They told him that, yeah, they're not New York City, sorry.
Right.
No, Image said that any books that they want to return, they could return. And they also would take them back.
Right, and they also said, well, here's some other comic stores where you can get the book.
Well, and the thing was, he was still selling it. Like, if someone wanted to buy it, he'd sell it to them. It's not like he's denying people the opportunity to purchase it, you know? Right. So it's like everything.
He just has one less copy, that's all.
I think Image handled it wrong also. Image got a little too whiny, crybaby about it. And, you know, well, don't shop at his store, you know?
Right.
It's like, if he doesn't like your book, you should at least take that feedback, you know, as a creative, as a company. As the writer and the artist should go, okay, well, we failed to reach this person, you know, is there something we need to change and at least look at the criticism of it instead of being like, oh, you're wrong. You know, I'm Uwe Boll. I make the best movies. Why, how dare you say my movies are bad?
Right. Know? Or just take it as, well, that person didn't like it. Okay, fine. Push it along.
Yeah, so I don't think Image.
I will give them props for sticking up for their creator.
Oh, yeah.
Creators.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what you want to see in your publisher. That's exactly what you want to see in your publisher. But
okay, enough of Pretty Deadly.
Yeah. I mean, I love this. Here's my thing. I like Color Supersonic. I'm not going to say that everything she writes is going to be great. I'm not going to say that everything she or anybody else that I like or even art-wise is going to like. But give it a shot because it's them. It doesn't mean that, hey, just because you like that person doesn't mean they're the greatest singer ever.
And last bit of comic news I had from the past 2 weeks was last week, Iron Man 17 came out, which was the conclusion to the secret origin of Tony Stark. And it made, I guess, USA Today news and probably other headline news sites that spoiler, ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 spoiler.
Tony Stark is adopted, and he has a brother he didn't know about. Arno Stark, who is Tony, who is the Iron Man 2020 or whatever.
Right.
Oh. Okay. Well.
Yeah, that's where the character's from.
They're using a pre-established character. And
is Tony from the future?
No, Arno is. No, Arno is the
Arno was right. in a multi other.
Well, wait, but how is that his brother if he's in the future?
The Arno character was created a couple of years ago.
So you're saying it's not the
it's
Iron
not
Man
the same, It's not the same.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the same Arno Stark from that alternate universe.
They're just using the name.
Name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But who knows what retcon will happen to tie the two together? So we'll see.
It's almost like what they're doing on Spider-Man.
Well, you know, it's Marvel has that kind of rubber band continuity where, you know, now apparently Captain America was thawed out after 9/11.
Right. Right. You know? That's just weird.
I mean, that changes the dynamic of the character.
Is that real?
Apparently, that's what Marvel's saying.
That's what they're saying.
You know. And I actually don't.
It just shows that we've gotten old. That's what that means.
I actually don't. I guess I'm not being as stubborn as I normally am, but I don't care. Make them be thawed out after 9/11.
I mean, that's for newer readers.
It's for new readers, so who cares?
The only thing is when they do something like that, I wish they would do some sort of like updated origin type book. I mean, at least do like a 4-part special of kind of showing us how his history has been reworked instead of it just being like this kind of nebulous. Some of these stories count and some of these stories don't.
No, but if you think about it, it's like, well, if you're 20 years old, this is his origin. If you're 30, this is his origin. And if you're 50, this is his origin. So you do that, you know?
Yeah, DC does it. It works fine.
Sorry, what I don't like about DC.
Exactly.
That's something I like about DC is every so often they just reset it and start over.
Yeah, and they've kind of done it. This is why Thanos had the mini saying, hey, he's got sons. I mean, he's had kids, you know, and this is why his kid's coming up now.
Would be a good idea. Cool. Like, retell Spider-Man's origin, Cap's, the X-Men's.
Give him time.
And just put it in the time period that you want it to be set. So, like, if you want the X-Men, if Scott Summers has been doing it for, you know, 20 years, then let's see that X-Men origin set in 1994, instead of
1960. Oh, Lord, I can't believe you said that. Oh, my God. Well, I just grew another couple of gray hairs.
I just want to see Iceman, you know, listening to Nirvana as he's busting out his powers, you know?
But I'm
he'd be the one.
So going back to Iron Man, of course, some people were, I hate retcons, and
it's just lame. I think it's lame, but you know, I dropped that book so long ago. I stopped. You know, like we read it for review purposes only.
It actually makes me interested in the book now.
Really?
I hated it before. I remember so dull. Now something interesting. It's like the Superior Spider-Man stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, it's different.
And that's probably why they did it. It was like, you know what? Let's flip him off a little bit. We got the movie still hot on the movie stuff, so let's flip his origin a little bit. Give him something else to go on.
It took me back to I forget which website it was, but Rick Remender interview, and he was talking about Captain America and whatnot, and he sort of went back to one of the Marvel retreats, and he was mentioning how, I guess the editors, whatever, were like, back when the whole Marvel Now stuff was being plotted and planned and the switching creative teams on books, challenged to really push the characters and be daring and do stuff with them. And he was saying basically, you know, these characters have been around for so long, you have to not be afraid to break them or whatever. Right. And this is sort of a example of that. Sure, it'll probably be retconned in like less than 10 years. But for now, I'll enjoy it while it's taking place, if you want to enjoy it. Or just not read it. That's going to be like my disclaimer at the end of all my second statements. or just don't read it.
Yeah. That works. That's a good one.
That's all the news. Daredevil's ending in February.
Yeah, that was lame.
It'll be
I
back.
I thought that was lame. Oh, no, it'll be back, but I don't think it'll be Wade.
No, he's doing a digital series.
Yeah, he's going to end in a digital comic, which is even better.
That's crazy. We forgot to mention, whatchamacallit, Remender's Winter Soldier Limited Series. We were talking about it just before the show. So do you have that?
With Captain America Winter Soldier movie taking place next year, around the same time, there's going to be a Rick Remender Winter Soldier limited series, 4-issue limited series. That's about all the news I have on it.
Well, they also revealed who the Iron Nail, like the next big Cap villain, is going to be, and apparently he's a former spoiler. Ding 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 ding. He's a former ally. Well, maybe not an ally of Cap's, but apparently he's also an Asian guy. I'm just like, oh, okay, let's see how they turn the Asian guy into a villain.
Oh, that's easy.
See what they did to the Mandarin.
Yeah. So, there was one other slight bit of going back to TV stuff. Charles Soule's Letter 44 is in talks to be a network TV series.
Okay.
Which
that was good, by the way.
Yeah. I still have not read that book, so I'm really curious now.
I like that one a lot. That was really good.
Yeah, that was your click of the week on the show you missed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, glad you mentioned that. Hey.
Did anybody else read it?
No, of course not. Dirt says it's good, but who's going to read it?
Exactly. All right, so we'll quickly open the floor to talk about some books from last week that came out. If anyone wants to pick a book or two that they felt stood out to them last week, I'm going to quickly look at a list here, see if there's anything that pops to my mind. Let me go back to last week. I'm actually just looking at Dirt's folder from last week. So any DC, actually, if there was DC from last week, I didn't read it anyway. Actually, I did. I read Red Lanterns 24.
Yeah, I was going to say, I read all of Lights Out.
Yeah, I made sure to read all the Green Lantern stuff so I could read the annual that came out this week. And actually, I must say, I liked the Red Lantern portion of it the best, out of the Green Lantern New Guardians, and Green Lantern Corps.
Well, you know, actually, it's funny because I was reading it, and I haven't read Red Lantern since it launched. You know, I read like the first two and then gave up on it. And so reading it, I actually sat down today and read the last three chapters. And when I read that Red Lanterns, I thought, wow, I kind of want to read Red Lanterns again. Like, I'm going to give it a chance now. You know, you bring in a new writer and change up the status quo on the book, and now it's interesting. So I am going to probably stick with that one at least for the next couple months and see if it holds my interest.
It's been good since they did the creator shuffle and Charles Soule started writing it. So I'll say that much. Let's see. So stuff from last week. Still haven't read some of this stuff. I will say I'm enjoying Indestructible Hulk, the whole Agent of Time.
It's gotten better.
Yeah.
It's picked up. I don't know if I was a fan of the earlier issues, but, you know, right at this point where, you know, these Kronarchists and, you know, there's a connection back to the beginning of the story that I'm not going to spoil, ding, ding. I think the storyline is kind of escalating and it's accelerating towards an end, so that's what makes it fun. You know, I appreciate that, even though, you know, it took a couple of issues to get started.
I think I know your opinion. Anybody else read Young Avengers 11?
So, I read it.
I didn't get a chance to read it.
What happened in it?
Well, I mean, the big reveal, which was spoiled last week in the news, that Loki is now either he's grown up, but he still looks rather youngish, and more like teenage Tom Hiddleston. Yeah,
he's Tom Hiddleston, teenaged young Avenger Loki.
Yeah,
which coincides with the how he'll look in the Agent of Asgard solo book that they announced.
Yeah. Outside of that, I mean, they're still doing. They're basically now going into the Mother Universe, or they're planning to go into the Mother Universe to get Billy, whatever. And so to do it, Tommy has to become the person he was meant to be in the future in order to do it, because he doesn't have enough power to do it. But it seemed like the bad guys are kind of aware of what's going on. And that's kind of where it left.
Okay. Ultimate Comic Spider-Man 28, which was the end of, I guess, this iteration of the book before Cataclysm starts. It was a nice ending. It sort of wrapped everything up nicely.
I liked it. I'm really hoping that they don't do anything too drastic with the Miles Morales character.
And there was Marvel Now What, number one, that none of us read yet. We talked about it before the show.
Yeah, well, actually, I've got a copy of it. I mean, I bought it. I just haven't had a chance to read it.
He's got the poster sitting behind him for those watching on video live. Mm-hmm.
Right, I love the cover.
Yeah.
You know.
Tim, you got anything on Uncanny Avengers? I hadn't read it, but...
I read it. I mean, the story's still kind of moving along.
Right.
I couldn't tell if Wolverine was supposed to have been dead at the end of it or not. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
I don't even say it's spoiler, because to me, he didn't look like he was dead, so.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're going to kill him in Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah. FF?
Don't read that.
I read that. I don't even remember it, so it's not worth talking about.
We don't have to go down the whole list of stuff. Left.
No, I'm just going through stuff that I know I picked up. But...
Oh, okay. I don't see anything else. And DC had some stuff, but I didn't read anything.
I read Justice League 24. I don't remember it.
Infinity.
That was the prison where you found out that all the heroes are being kept in some sort of futuristic prison run by the crime syndicate, and each of them is in some sort of cell that's designed off of their powers.
Hmm.
So they're trapped somehow by their own, you know, powers. Like, for instance, Flash, he thinks that he's saving everybody in the world and he's trying to go everywhere and do everything, but he's actually just sitting in this room it's all playing out in his mind. And he's wearing out, he's, you know, physically exhausted, even though it's all happening mentally. And it's that type of thing that's going on with everybody in Justice League, and that's why they've disappeared, because they're stuck. And Martian Manhunter is really the only powerful guy, and he found – I can't think of her name.
The Star Girl.
Yeah, Star Girl. And so she's like his anchor up in the real world that he's keeping the telepathic link to, so that he doesn't get lost and doesn't get trapped down there. And he's going through trying to, you know, find anybody that he can save. And even when he finds the heroes, because of the way this cell is made to entice them to stay in there and, you know, keep fighting or interacting or whatever, he can't get the people to leave because they believe the illusion so much. And so it's one of those things where it's like, unless he blows it up and shuts it down, I don't know how he's ever going to get anybody out of it.
Nice.
Kick-Ass is playing Quicksilver. I forgot about that in the news, but whatever.
Oh, yeah, the Kick-Ass guy is playing Quicksilver in Age of Ultron. Yeah. I had no clue that was the same guy.
Yeah.
He looks totally different as a regular person.
Yeah. Infinity the Hunt.
The Heist I read, but I didn't enjoy it as much as the first issue.
Mm. I'm slightly disappointed. Well, no, I'm slightly disappointed in Infinity the Hunt, because it drew me in with something else and it lied to me in a way.
Yeah, I didn't like the second issue because it's the third, right?
It lied to you.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But it's still
kind of... Plymouth Rock landed on you.
Yeah, I know, right? But it still kind of keeps of that, because it's like at this point in the story, which is only one more thing left, is like they're pretty much like, okay, they were taken away for safety reasons, but they're trying to go back into the fight, and now they are in the fight and finding out that maybe they probably should not have gone into it. And they're still kind of fighting each other in a way, so... It is what it is, I guess. Sex Criminals number 2. I will go ahead and bring this up. I like this book. I love the writing. I kind of like how there's a whole bunch of innuendo in here, and personally that appeals to me.
Perv?
Yeah.
Ah!
I admit it. So last issue, they pretty much gave the girls, Susie's character's backstory. Now we got John, who's the guy. We're getting his, which is slightly different, but I like the way they're kind of handling both sides, because it's, if you think about how teenagers work and how we all kind of went through with the teenagers, especially around about sex, they're kind of handled in the same way, because the way they discover their powers is pretty much the same way, you know, teenagers discover masturbation. So I kind of like it the way they handled it like that.
Okay. Yeah, still gotta read that.
And it is actually pretty, it's decently funny.
Cool.
That's cool.
All right. So that's all last week.
Secret Avengers. Oh. Yeah, Secret Avengers, but nah.
I don't read that anymore.
I tried to read it. I don't even remember reading it. It's so sad.
Quick question before we hop to this week.
Sure.
Since I've missed a couple weeks, did you guys talk about the Wolverine Origin 2 and the secret reveal that came out with the cover?
I don't know if we talked about it.
No.
They sent out these things to show off the Origin 2 cover, which has this like acetate overlay of the claws. And they sent this out to shops all across the country. And when you open the overlay, it shows the eyes of Mr. Sinister.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the cover that you've seen that they showed, you know, everybody, and they used this for all the marketing. But then when they sent this out, you were able to see that there was that secret spoiler underneath.
Can't have someone messing with mutant genes and not have Sinister involved.
That's right.
So anyway, there's that.
And
they can't show Sinister like consistently being obsessed with the Summers, you know, genetics.
Yeah. And I think what was that? There was an article about, speaking of Wolverine, saying that, well, alluding to, I guess it was something last week, about the many people he had supposedly been with, because somebody had went in his mind and showed all that there was a panel of all the people he was with, including like Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
And he like freaked out or something?
Yeah, he was like, I'm never having sex again.
Yeah. I read that.
Okay.
But it's good.
Is anyone excited for Origins? I didn't read the first one, so.
You didn't read the first one? It's nothing. It's not really great shakes, honestly. I mean, I remember it coming out, and I remember being excited.
I never read Wolverine solo books growing up, so. I got my Wolverine fits out of the Team X-Men book, so that was good enough for me.
There's definitely a couple of, I can clue you in on a couple of, like, you know, pretty good runs of the solo book that are really worth reading, but I agree. You're probably okay getting your Wolverine fixed, however much you need from the X-Men books.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. Like, it was okay when it came out, and it was interesting to see how they, you know, explained some of the stuff. But I read it around the same time that I read Old Man Logan.
Oh, more recently. Okay.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, like, this was a big story that everybody said, oh, you got to read Origin, you got to read Origin. I finally got around to reading it. But I was reading Old Man Logan at the same time, and I'm like, you know, I kind of like this fun imaginary story set in the future more than I like this kind of going back and explaining everything of where he came from.
Oh, I think it's because they could take a little bit more, liberties, a few more liberties.
And there's also something about when you peel away the curtain and just kind of lay everything out on the table, and it's like, oh, that's all it was, you know? Like, meh. Meh.
Meh.
Middle name. But a bump.
All right, this week's books.
This week's books, yeah!
I see Boom Studios had a Hero Bear and the Kid 2013 annual number one.
Oh, did not read it.
Is that the one where they had the typos or whatever going on in something along with it? It's like there was misnumbered pages or something going on with it.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, there was an article a couple of days ago about, I can't remember if it was the annual or whatever the most recent Hero Bear book was.
Well, you know, my son read it. He didn't say anything to me about it, but
yeah, I don't think it was anything. It didn't seem like it was anything that was like somebody might have noticed the pages was off or something. But yeah.
Now I can't find it. Oh, wait, there it is. I think that's it.
It's like page five was supposed to be page seven, and I don't know if that was just the numbering or whether it was the actual page or not.
I can tell you that the artwork is beautiful in it still. Hmm. So there you go.
Okay.
But I haven't had a chance to read it yet. My son read it. He loves it, but I just haven't had a chance yet.
It's fairly awesome.
Fairly?
Yeah, fairly awesome.
And let's see what else from this week. I'm jumping to Dark Horse, so feel free to stop me. Captain Midnight number 4 came out. I need to check this one out. And even though Blood Brothers number 3 of 3 apparently is ending, I might try to flip through that. The art looked nice on it, so that's all I need.
You know, that was one of those books that like nobody ordered in advance. So we didn't really order a whole bunch of them, but we've had a couple people come in the store and just be like, hey, do you have that book? And it's like, well, actually, yes, we do. Surprisingly enough. Come
here. You're going to say, no, we don't. Leave us alone. Okay. Thought my screen froze for a second. DC Comics. So this was
Go back to Dark Horse for a second.
Okay, Dark Horse.
We had Itty Bitty Hellboy that came
out. Itty Bitty.
And this is still
Itty Bitty Hellboy.
So basically, you know, Hellboy is doing their Hellboy in Hell story. So Itty Bitty Hellboy gets banished down to Hell. And basically, they all arrive in Hell, and Liz Sherman is kind of looking around at all the fire. And she realizes that she can control it, so she starts having fun making these giant plumes of fire and writing her name in fire in the sky. And all these little demons appear, and they look like little itty-bitty hellboys that want to take over the world. So in kid-friendly Art and Franco manner, they have to figure out how to make itty-bitty hellboy demons not take over the world. And they find, I would say, a rather ingenious way of stopping baby demons from invading Earth. And I don't want to give it away because you need to read it. You actually, I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. You need to read Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Yay!
I read the first issue. I wasn't too crazy about it. It was all right.
Yeah, well, read issue 3.
That's this issue?
Yes.
Okay, I'll read it just because you said to.
And we were talking about an all ages thing after the last show the last time, so this kind of works out properly.
Cool.
Hey, I'm looking through Boom's download website, and I see Superbia number 12 is the final issue of the second volume. That was a book that I read, apparently the second volume. I read like the first 2 or 3 issues of the second volume. The idea intrigued me at first, but then there wasn't any action in it, so it lost my interest. I may actually kind of try to thumb through this to see how it ends, see if some action actually starts happening. Okay, so now DC Comics. So this was DC's annual week, apparently.
And kind of a small week overall.
Yeah, definitely.
Which was nice because it gave me a chance to catch up. But Action Comics annual number 2 came out.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yep. Well, I can tell you that when we read the Villains Month special for Hell, and we said this makes absolutely no sense because it seems like he's traveled back in time.
Oh, you mean Hell?
Yeah, Hell.
Bless you. Do tight.
Well, this actually explains why that was so hard to follow. Like, that now makes sense now that this issue has come out. Because basically what they explain, and I won't give it all away, but the basic idea is that when, you know, Hell tried to destroy Earth in order to rebuild Krypton, and he ended up getting sucked into this vortex, and he was sent back in time. And he's trying to change history in order to make Krypton survive and not, you know, explode. And what has happened is every time he went back in time, he tried to change things, he failed, it exploded, and so he found a way to go back in time again, and he's done this loop apparently like dozens of times, trying to save Krypton over and over again, and he's basically kind of fracturing reality, and he's fractured it enough that he's found like this core in the center of existence where it's stable, and he can kind of go into time and change things and then see how it plays out without having to go through the whole time loop of everything. But of course, doing so threatens the nature of space-time itself. So they've kind of found this way to explain why this stuff that we saw in Villains Month didn't make sense. It's like, well, that seemed like they went back in time. Well, apparently they have. And this idea of Krypton Returns is Superboy, Supergirl, and Superman are called to the core by this Watcher-type being who is sending the three of them out on separate missions to try to fix things in the time stream so that everything plays out the way it's supposed to be and that time kind of folds back on itself and heals and goes back to normal.
I was going to ask you whether this book seemed like it was something they did in reaction to the fact that they didn't really explain things.
No, this plays out like this is something they've been planning for a while.
Yeah,
I must say, probably
they would have had to by now. I mean, to have it out by now, they would have had to.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll make sure to read the L Villains Month book beforehand. I actually like the art in this. At least I think it was the art that I saw for this annual.
Yeah, actually, it is really good. It switches about two-thirds of the way through. The last third is done by Dan Juergens. And then the first two-thirds are done by Kenneth Rocafort. And you know, I mean, Dan Juergens is some guy who's, you know, everybody, I think, recognizes his art style, right. And it's really good. But I remember as I was reading the first part of it, I recognized the name Kenneth Rocafort, but I didn't know from
there. He's the regular
artist,
I think. He's the regular artist on the monthly book.
On Action?
I believe so.
Yeah, and see, I don't read Action all the time. So I was looking through it going, wow, this is really good. Like, I like this guy.
Well, he's got a sharp style.
Yeah, and suddenly it switched, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, the artwork suddenly changed, and I had to go back and look. Oh, yeah, Dan Juergens is doing this part. Okay. So, but yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Cool.
Next up, Aquaman Annual Number 1. I will say I finally got through the Aquaman Villains Month books, so now I can finally read, I think it was Aquaman 24 that came out last week or 2 weeks ago. So yeah, safe to say I haven't read this yet.
Yeah, I haven't read this one either. I did read Aquaman last week, though.
It's in my read pile. Yeah, I just haven't had time.
Okay. Damian, Son of Batman, number one.
I read this. Surprise, surprise. Anybody else?
Yep.
I've heard a lot of varying
opinions
on this. Yes, thank you.
I'm kind of neutral on it. I thought it was mostly good, but I'm kind of confused. And obviously, that's intended. You know, you're kind of confused as to, you know, as to when this is happening, how this is happening. So, you know, I would wait for the second issue to really pass judgment on it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it feels like it's like an Elseworlds book, like it's not in continuity, but they've been talking about it like somehow it does tie into the current continuity. I just don't see any way how.
Right.
But it goes back to when they did Detective Comics 666. They had Damian was the Batman of the future in the futuristic Gotham City. And they said that that was continuity. But then, you know, a couple years later, they kill off Damian. So it's like, how could that be in continuity? The only thing I can think of is they talk about how, you know, he was genetically manipulated in a test tube.
And send in the clones!
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, is you got a clone army of Damians out there.
Why is Damian sticking a sword through a Joker fish
because the cover. Story. Well, if you look at the cover, you see Batman in the background and he's beat up and laying there.
Looks like it's a villain's month.
Well, they cover. Found in the story. This isn't going to give away the entire story because this happens in like the first six pages. Spoiler. First 6 pages of the story, they find this on the wharf. There's like some like I don't know. Delivery spot, and they find like all these bodies piled, just piles and piles of bodies and dead fish, and they're looking for clues, and they find a Joker fish, and Batman goes to grab the Joker fish, and it blows up, and it kills Bruce Wayne, and so now Damian is left with Bruce dead. His dad is dead, so it kind of flips the story around where Batman's dead and Damian survives, and he is carrying on the legacy and avenging his father.
His dad went out a horrible way.
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like a fatherless child.
Sometimes you don't.
Okay. Next up. Make sure I go through it slow so I don't skip anything. Forever Evil Argus number one.
Am I the only one who read it?
Most likely.
Probably.
Yes.
It's okay. It wasn't great. I think the other
shouldn't they call it Forever Evil Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, well.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. That's right.
The one thing that's kind of intriguing in this story is that it does kind of fill in some of the gaps about Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman and kind of their relationship and some of the stuff that happened between them. Because when, you know, the villains come and supposedly kill off the Justice League, it kind of shifts him into high gear because he, of course, still has feelings for Wonder Woman. But, I mean, overall, the story was a lot of, hey, there's explosions. Hey, there's villains. Hey, we've got to do something about this. Hey, get some guns. Hey, everybody, who's left alive? Let's build a team. You know, it was just that kind of standard.
It's a Michael Bay comic. Oh.
So... It's a first issue. It's a one of six. It sets up the characters. So, I mean, it does what it's supposed to do, but didn't really do a whole lot in this one other than assemble the team and give them some weapons.
Okay. I finished reading the Arkham War Forever Evil book before the show. And also read The Rogue's Rebellion. And I'm, at least so far, I'm enjoying the Forever Evil tie-in books for what they are.
I think this one is the weakest of the three so far.
Okay. I'll see if I feel the same way after I get to it. I think I'm going to give the tie-in books a break and finally get into the Justice League books that I haven't read yet. Because what, Justice League America, Justice League, and Justice League Dark have come out and I need to read those. But anyway. Green Lantern Annual Number 2, which is the end of the Lights Out crossover in the Green Lantern books.
Really? Already?
Yep.
Jeez. Yeah, it's just...
I gotta catch up.
Knocked them all out in a week or a month.
I gotta catch up. I think I read the first issue or two, and I fell behind.
But I read it, and... Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. Spoilers for anyone, including me.
I'm not gonna spoil... I'm trying not to spoil anything, really, but nothing... I feel like nothing happened.
Well, it was one of those things where they gave you a bunch of backstory on where their powers come from and how the powers work. And they kind of changed the dynamic of it. And they changed, like, Guy Gardner. He originally apparently went to the Red Lanterns as, like, a spy for the Green Lanterns. But apparently he actually really likes it and is actually...
He's gone native.
Yeah, and he's going to stay. He enjoys it. And they changed, what's his face? Kyle Rayner's story now is apparently kicking off a different chapter, going in a different direction.
And there's something else with the Reds that was revealed in Red Lanterns also. They get something in return for helping the Greens.
Oh, yeah, they cut a deal.
Green Lanterns get a new home.
The other thing I thought was interesting is in the Red Lantern book, they talked about how everybody else of the spectrum draws from this energy, the source that they get this, you know, power from. except the Red Lanterns, theirs is a mix of this kind of demonic blood energy from their lake of blood that they draw from, as well as from the rage spectrum of emotion. So their powers are a little bit different than all the other lanterns. And I thought that was kind of interesting how they gave them, you know, they tweaked it a little bit to say that they're just a little bit different. So they affect things a little bit differently. And their part in the story is different from all the other lanterns because they do have this mix of this kind of demonic energy mixed in with their regular lantern energy.
Okay. So that's Green Lantern Lights Out.
Overall, I enjoyed it. I read the final three chapters just in one big chunk, you know, of a storyline, and I have to say I thought it played out really well.
Okay. Nightwing Annual number one. Of course, I did not read it.
Anyone? Bueller?
I know that involves Batgirl from the preview pages, at least.
I'm missing the cover to that one. I don't know what I did with it.
Yeah, from what it sounded like, it might go into Nightwing's and Batgirl's relationship type of deal. I don't know.
Oh, there it is. Ba-ba-bum.
Aha!
Cover looks nice.
Yeah.
Tony Daniel cover.
That's why I like it.
Although I haven't read it. It ties into Batgirl, and a couple weeks ago I tried to read Batgirl and realized that it was part two or part three of some ongoing story, so I have to go back and dig out those back issues. I just haven't had a chance yet. But I do plan on getting around to it after I read those Batgirl issues.
Okay.
Next up. Sandman Overture number one, which everyone's been talking about.
I never got around to reading it. I had it on my fingertips, and I just didn't read it.
Yeah, this seems like this is going to be one of those. Hey, this popular favorite book, I guess, because of the writers and the history, I guess, of the Sandman. Because I have no real knowledge of Sandman.
I mean. There's definitely a fan base out there. There's a fan base out there that is, you know, there's a built-in audience for this. So there's going to be a section of the audience that's going to just flock to this.
Yeah,
and I don't happen to be a member of that audience.
Yeah, neither am I. And I'm kind of curious because there was an article about there comparing this book to Guardians of the Galaxy in some kind of way, or by panel for some reason. I don't know.
Okay.
Sandman, comparing Sandman to Guardians.
I don't know what was the,
It's on the weird side.
Yeah, I think it was just more like a look of something in the book, not necessarily, you know, a direct title of what's going on in it.
I actually know absolutely nothing about Sandman, so.
Yeah, neither do
I. I remember, I read everything Sandman that came out back in the 90s, but then once it ended, I just kind of, I always thought it was interesting. And I thought it was a well-done book, but I didn't get into it like so many other people did. And when they announced this book, at first I was just kind of like, oh, that's cool. It's coming back. But I didn't really care that much. And we only had a couple customers that signed up for it. There hasn't been a whole lot of excitement and traffic as far as, you know, the store, people really caring about it that much, and you know, retail-wise. And I've heard a lot of people online say that they were excited to get it, but I just haven't heard a lot of people talking about it now that it's come out. And I kind of take that as a bad sign.
Yeah, no immediate word of mouth, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen word of typing mouth, if that counts. I'll flip through it. J.H. Williams drew it, so it should at least look good, right?
No.
Meh. Swamp Thing Annual number two, I'm just mentioning. And Teen Titans Annual number two, I'm going to read because I'm going to try to read Teen Titans again. at least since Marv Wolfman is eventually going to take over the writing on it.
Oh, I heard music. What was that?
That was my phone.
I was going to say someone's phone went off.
Or it was my house phone, rather, but yeah.
Although in the Action Comics annual, Superboy pops up and he mentions, I just fought a future version of myself, and then it says, see Teen Titans Annual number 2. So apparently, if you're going to read them both, you should read this first before reading the Action.
Before reading Action Comics?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll try to remember that as well. So that's DC, people. I always skip Dynamite Entertainment, but if anyone has anything in there.
What came out from Dynamite?
Ash and the Army of Darkness, number 1. Anybody?
No.
Shatter Year 1, number 6.
Warlord of Mars.
Although, here, I'll tell you what. Warlord of Mars, you guys are going to like the cover for.
Whoa! Wait,
you can say that about any of them, though.
Whoa!
That book. That's going to be your pick of the week there.
Holla! The
so you sure that's not Zenoscope?
That's what yeah. I mean, yeah, the covers of that book, that's pretty much that. I'm surprised it's not on Zenoscope.
I can tell you that if you order like I think it's 10 or 15 copies, I forget which one, they have a version, they always do a version of the cover that comes out without the gold pieces on it. You can get the variant.
Nice.
A full frontal variant.
Huh. Okay. So that's Dynamite. And you wonder why we don't bring up Dynamite Entertainment much.
Although they do Game of Thrones.
Yeah. How does that sell? Yeah. Does that sell at your store, Doug?
It mildly. Sells.
I mean, that means it's selling something.
Yeah, I mean, it sells like a TV tie-in. You know, the same as you would a Dexter or.
But nothing is close. Nothing close. Nothing like The Walking Dead.
No, no. Uh-uh. All right. No, Walking Dead had an audience before the show.
Of course. I mean, that's what I mean. Whereas, that's a bad comparison. I guess your comparison is more accurate, you know, the Dexter Marvel series. I got you. All right. I'm glad to hear that it's moving.
Yeah, I mean, there is interest for it. You know, it does sell regularly, but not gangbusters like anything else.
Gotcha.
All right. Let's see what else we got. IDW. Kiss Kids, number 3 of 4.
Okay.
Well. Oh, I'll jump back to that when I skip. Don't worry.
What'd you skip? G.I. Joe.
Godzilla, I'm assuming.
I didn't even have a chance to read it this week, so I won't worry about it. I'll skip it.
Actually, it's funny because I pulled this out of the box and I go, oh yeah, this is the one that I'm supposed to check out because apparently it's pretty good, but I keep forgetting to go back and read it.
Hmm.
So what do we think of Kiss Kids?
Oh, we're going back to Kiss Kids?
Anyone's kids read it?
No, actually.
Wait, but there was a My Little Pony 2013 annual.
But it was also G.I. Joe. Or wait.
My kids were excited that the My Little Pony 2013 annual came out because it adapts the Equestria Girls movie, which we have not seen yet. So this was their opportunity to see what the story is. And now we don't have to sit through the video.
So
that makes me happy.
That's a slick move. Slick move.
Okay, yeah, My Little Pony. Is that a cover to the annual or the Friendship is Magic number 12?
This is the Friendship is Magic 12 that you can see right now.
There's two issues of this album.
And not only that, but...
Brody's come out for it.
Here's the thing. My Little Pony sells really well. This sells well enough that we actually get the retailer incentives because we order enough copies of My Little Pony.
What kind of incentives do you get, by the way?
They have another variant cover.
Oh, so you just get extra comics and, like, posters and stuff?
Well, like, for instance, My Little Pony, the regular series here, this is cover A. There's also a cover B. If you order, and they just mix them. It's like every other copy has the alternate cover. But if you order, like, for every 10 copies that you order, you get a retailer incentive cover that has a different piece of artwork on it. And those we sell at $10 a pop, and those sell.
You know, it's just is there a My Little Pony convention?
Yeah, BronyCon.
Yeah, you know, it's all the BronyCon people buying this stuff.
Mercy.
Wait, is that a Crown Royal bag? Oh, wait, never mind.
No, it's a dice bag.
Yeah.
Look, sure. It says Wild Stallion. We're Bill and Ted.
And
Wild
then here's
Stallions.
Here's the thing on this
that?
One.
No one got that?
Yeah.
The annual, this 2013 annual, was a $7.99 cover price book.
Wow.
People bought it?
Because it's thick. It's a thick book.
Oh, that's okay. As much as the Batman number 24.
It's a square-bound
book.
It's almost like a little graphic novel.
Damn.
So when I go into comic book business, I need to read up on My Little Pony and the kid books so I can
just in case
start creating some IP stories with these characters.
Although I can tell you that Powerpuff Girls is not selling as well as My Little Pony.
That's because it's newer. My Little Pony's been around for generations.
Hey, Dirk, how did
the older stuff you have to go for?
How did Samurai Jack sell for you?
Honestly,
the book wasn't that good.
Same as Powerpuff Girls.
Okay.
I mean, it really. People didn't seem – the people who liked Samurai Jack kind of went, oh, that's cool, but they didn't buy the book.
Right. Because yeah. That was exactly my feeling.
It exists as this, like, cinematic – you know, because, I mean, that was the draw of the animation in Samurai Jack was that it did play out a lot of times like a samurai movie.
Right.
And when you try to convey that as an illustrated story, it just kind of loses something.
Right, in panels. It wasn't as dynamic.
Yeah.
It's just not as dynamic.
Yeah, if they had done Samurai Jack in the vein of Lone Wolf and Cub, it might have sold a whole lot better, you know?
I was going to – at least I enjoyed Jim Zub on Twitter, so I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to download this and read it early so I can write a review for the website. And that's all it was like 40 pages, or at least that's what the PDF said. The back half probably just advertisements. And I was like, yeah, let me read it. Catch up on other stuff first.
I think I did pick it up, and I hadn't read it yet.
It's still on my iPad to be read.
Yeah.
I think, like, for instance, My Little Pony as a monthly title will sell the same as, say, Avengers or even like Justice League. I mean, it sells.
Damn.
And part of that is,
you must be in Brony Central out there in Cleveland. Well, or in
part of it because we sell it online. I mean, we're also an online store, so that kind of helps. But as far as, like, Powerpuff Girls, that seems to sell the same as, like, a Simpsons book.
How does being online help people just across the country can order it, you're saying?
People worldwide. I mean, we ship all over the world.
Cool.
We've noticed that Brazil is one of the big emerging markets. We sell stuff
for
Brazil.
For My Little Pony?
not necessarily My Little Pony, but comics in general, yeah.
Gotcha. They don't really get it. Yeah, from what I was, they don't really get half the stuff that, you know.
Right, and they also want the English translation, and they want it more immediately than they would the Portuguese reprints.
So how... Now I'm like all into like the semantics and stuff.
The operational stuff?
Yeah. How much of a pain is it to ship the stuff overseas?
Comics are easy because comics, you cut two pieces of cardboard and you bag and board the comic and tape it between the two pieces of cardboard, drop it in a manila envelope, and off it goes. It's when someone buys like the Justice League action figure set, you know, with seven figures in a giant box, and you got to figure out how to ship it. And
it's weight.
Yeah, and it gets really expensive, you
right.
know.
Especially on the size. It may not be that heavy, but
it's big. Someone buys two action figures, and they have it you know, shipped expedited to France and you're paying $38 just in shipping on two $9.99 figures, you know. But when it comes to comics, comics are really not a problem. It's also one of those things where if you send like a video game or a movie, customs sometimes will cut it open and check just to make sure it's not some sort of contraband. But on comics, they don't ever really seem to care. There's never really an issue with mailing out comics.
Do you charge them to shipping when it – it's like $30 shipping.
Oh, heck yeah!
Okay.
You got them, man. You got them.
Okay, so that's Comic Book 101, Comic Book Store 101 with Dirt from PCN. Oh, he's at PCN underscore Dirt, and his website, which I haven't mentioned yet, is popculturenetwork.com.
Ching ching!
And you can buy your comics at shoppcn.com.
There we go.
Ching ching!
Like this one, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 27.
You said shop.popculturenetwork.com.
No, it's shoppcn.com.
Shoppcn.com. Okay, I'm going to try to
remember that.
Start plugging that in. On
the there were two Turtles books this week.
There were, but for some reason I haven't been reading the micro series.
Well, this one, a lot of people were excited on this one because it was Bebop and Rocksteady.
I heard.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Just jumping back to TMNT number actually the full name is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 27. I haven't read it yet.
Anybody?
That's my two cents.
Nope.
I have been enjoying Cityfall.
Nightfall.
So I will get to it before the weekend before the weekend's up.
Yeah, I'm still way behind on Turtles. A lot of these IDW tie-in books like Turtles, Transformers, G.I. Joe, I've got Special Missions sitting here to read. I've got Turtles sitting here to read. But I'm like, you know, 8 months, 9 months behind on most of these books.
Yeah. Which G.I. Joe is pretty decent. I had need to catch up on Special Missions myself, actually.
I like Special Missions more than the other ones, and I think it's just because I like Chuck Dixon's writing when he's doing G.I. Joe and he's doing Special Missions, so
right.
I tend to rely on that one a little bit more.
I do know the regular, the one that you got the image up for now, Fred Van Lente is about to leave the series.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I read that in an interview a couple months ago, actually, so his run should be probably ending pretty soon. He's a busy man. He was doing some stuff for Valiant. He was writing. Doesn't he write Archer and Armstrong? I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he does that. He does Brain Boy for Dark Horse, I believe. And he has one of those Gold City, Gold Key characters, I think he's doing for Dynamite. I think he was back during New York Comic Con when Dynamite was releasing all the little teaser images like Marvel. It was like Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente and some other Jokers. So he's making the rounds in the independent circuit.
Yeah, well, he was a big Marvel guy for a while. He was doing like four or five Marvel books at one time. And so.
Really? I guess that was during the period I stopped reading. Did he write Spider-Man?
No, he was doing I think the Marvel Adventure Spider-Man.
The what?
He was doing the Marvel Adventure Spider-Man, like the kids Spider-Man.
Didn't he do the Mighty Hercules book?
Yeah, I think he did that one too.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he did the run of Incredible Hulk when it centered on that kid, the
Amadeus
Cho.
Yeah.
That was Pat, wasn't it? I thought that was Greg Pak.
I thought that was Pak also.
Maybe. I don't know.
Pak created him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
One other thing from IDW is Transformers.
That's a cool cover.
They do two different books. Yeah, they do two different books, Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye, and they both have been doing independent storylines, one set on Cybertron and one set out in space. And apparently this dark Cybertron story that they're leading up to is going to bring the two books back together for this big crossover and bring back Optimus Prime, who gave up the leadership of the Autobots and left. He's apparently coming back as part of the storyline. So they're building up to something big. So all the people that, you know, love the toys and everything like that, it's given them a reason to take another look at the series and, you know, try to bring them back.
And that's it for IDW. Image. Kind of a slow week for them, too. At least for me.
Anybody read any of this?
Saga 15 came out. That's probably the only... I will mention that Five Ghosts number 6, I guess, was a limited series, and now it's going to be ongoing. I just read that in an article somewhere, so thought I'd mention it. But, yeah, Saga, that's the big Image book. Haven't read it. I will get to it eventually.
Number 8, I picked it up, didn't read it.
It's Saga. Everyone reads it, apparently.
Sure. Gonna start at some point, but...
Yeah. Marvel!
Yay!
Marvel Now!
Marvel Now!
Avengers 22, I have not read. Surprise, surprise.
It was good.
Is this before Infinity 5 or after?
I think it's after.
It's shortly after.
Yeah.
Or actually, not. I shouldn't say after. It's usually the Avengers seems to happen at the same point of time as the Infinity books. They show like a different view.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this one didn't count, but it is after 5.
Okay. So I read them in order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers AI number 5. I don't read this book anymore.
I haven't read this one, but I have it.
I didn't read it this week.
I didn't get around to it because it was like, okay.
Although then, I did notice that Herbie the robot here is at the bottom of the cover.
Herbie!
Oh, yeah.
But it looks like they killed Herbie, so I'm a little upset.
Herbie!
Captain America Living Legend number 2 of 4.
Did not read this.
First issue kind of was meh to me. I'll say that much. Because I haven't read number 2 yet. Covers and art is nice, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cataclysm.
Oh, you skipped Captain Marvel number 17.
Where?
Wait, did that come out?
That's next week.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. I did download Captain Marvel somewhere. Yeah.
No, it might be next week. It's not this week.
Well, it was last week, wasn't it?
Oh, is it? Okay, maybe.
No. I just downloaded it on my iPad. It was from some week.
It was from some week.
Did you get a preview? Because I don't think it's...
Hold on. Captain...
It's not on the list.
The modified date I have is October 21st. So it was 2 weeks ago. Oh, no. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Well, wait.
No. I think it was supposed to come out this week, but then they bumped it to next week.
Oh, next week it is.
And I have it in the wrong review folder.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's all right. We didn't talk about anything. Next.
Next. But we can talk about it next week.
That's right.
Cataclysm 0.1.
Anybody?
You know, I actually started to read this, and it centers on the ultimate version of Vision, which is some female robot character, which I'm completely unfamiliar with. So I kind of stopped myself, and I'm going to do a little bit of Wikipedia-ing before I go back to read this.
So did you finish it, or did you just stop?
No, I stopped. I stopped because I'm reading it, and I'm going, I know absolutely nothing about this character. And she's talking about these changes that she's doing to her system. And I'm like, okay, wait, I got to stop and figure out who this character is before I get into this.
I think they did a mini series on her, bringing her in a while back, like early on or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I remember seeing, like in my mind mentally, like we got some variant covers in for it, and I can remember filing those variant covers away at one point in time, but I never actually read the series because it was before I started reading the Ultimate Comics. So, yeah. I got to do some homework before I read this one.
Okay. Deadpool Kills Deadpool number 4 of 4.
Anybody?
I can tell you it sells well in our store, but I haven't read it.
I've been looking at the sale, Comic Beats or whoever the website is releases the monthly sales figures for Marvel and DC. And I looked at, I guess they released September's, probably, earlier this week, and I read it. those Deadpool books seem to sell pretty well, like you just said.
Yeah. Well, the big thing on this one is that it's written by the guy who did the old series.
Yeah, it's Cullen Bunn's been writing all the little 4-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
And as they said in the article, these miniseries sell just as well as the regular Deadpool series. So.
Well, and I read the first two of this series, and I enjoyed them. I just haven't gone back to read 3 and 4.
Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy number 8. Have not read.
Good. Really? I did not read this. I'm not enjoying the series right now. That's the thing. So, I'm glad that somebody liked it, and I'll get around to reading it eventually.
Last issue was my favorite so far.
Yeah.
I know the art I'm not crazy about in this one. It was a fill-in issue. Vega. Is it Frank?
Yeah, it is Frank.
Nah, I'm not crazy about Frank like everyone else is.
Mm.
He's all right. Yeah. He's not bad.
He just has a different style, and it really clashes with the art that this book has had.
Yes, that's a good point. I'm not sure if he fits a supposedly cosmic book. Maybe he does, though. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a good read. It's an Infinity tie-in, so basically the Guardians found out that, hey, Earth got taken over. Is in trouble, so they're trying to figure out what to do. And there's a little bit of turmoil early on, but then they get word from S.W.O.R.D. that got taken over in Infinity, I guess. I can't remember when it got taken over. So they go in there and try to liberate that. It was a pretty fun read. They've actually addressed that Blam murdered you thing that Rocket Raccoon does sometimes.
No kidding.
It was kind of funny. I mean, they just kind of went through it.
So, Radicat has the Marvel image, whatever, the 50th anniversary, whatever image of this is.
Yeah, icon. One of them.
But, go figure. You know, Infinity's taking place, this cosmic book, and the Earth, which the Guardians of the Galaxy have declared they're going to protect, is invaded by Thanos. Yeah, you might want to get involved.
Yeah, good job there, Guardians of the Galaxy. Good job.
Yeah, because there was even a little thing with between Gamora and Quill about it. Basically, just starts out like that. Like Gamora's asking Quill about what he's gonna do. You knew Thanos was alive, you know. So what are you gonna do now that Earth is in trouble? And they have this little argument where he almost gets killed
because it's a Bendis book. What else is there? You know, if Hickman was writing it, there'd be some action going on. You know, with some mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, and there's action in this one. So
okay. I just wanted to mention that that image that Roddy Cat has up is a portion of like a 12-fold cover or a poster that's basically like a 12-fold cover that's included with Avengers number 24?
The 24 point now book.
Right.
Is it 24 or 25 point now?
24 point now because there's an article on Bleeding Cool where I got it and where they broke it down into 3 sections.
I'm actually buy that physical copy of that then if...
I'm jazzed to buy a physical copy of that. That looks really nice. It's Daniel Acuna.
Yep.
So if I had to like reserve it or something, it'd be something.
Mm-hmm.
No, it seemed like they made it out that that's the way they're selling the book. They're bagging it up.
If they sell it that way, I'll buy a physical.
I can tell you right now, if you want a copy, contact your store and let them know. Don't walk in the day it comes out and be like, "Oh, hey, do you got one of those?"
Yeah.
Can I get it from PCN or shoppcn.com?
Yeah. Let us know you want one. We'll make sure we set one aside for you.
You're kidding. I'm going to order all my stuff from you now.
There you go.
I'm not even sure if my local store is even doing comics anymore.
Yeah, you know, I do need to support my local shop.
Yeah. There was an article about a month ago from, actually, it was Bleeding Code again, that mentioned the shop that I have you to go to saying their stock. They're stopping doing comics after this month here, as a matter of fact, and just going into collectibles.
Wow, that's whack.
And I have not gone in there to see if that's actually true yet. But
that is whack.
Well, you know, about an hour away from here is the town of Decatur, Illinois. And several years ago, they had like 3 comic book shops in their town. and one of them went out of business. One of them, the guy got married, and his wife, you know, talked him out of owning a store, so he closed. And then the third store, the guy apparently stopped paying his Diamond Comics bill, and so they cut him off. And so now we've got people driving an hour from that town to our town looking for comics because they can't get them at their town anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Luckily, there was a couple of different. There was a couple of other ones here, but it's just that was the closest one to me and the one I had history going to.
Okay. I guess he has Guardians. Wait for now.
What's next on the list?
Infinity number 5 of 6, which I reviewed on ThinkClickNation.com and PopCultureNetwork.com.
Yeah.
Go read my review, people.
Yay! Wait, hold on. I'm going to just in case it's actually being recorded on YouTube, I want to throw in the sound effects.
So, I actually enjoyed this issue.
Yeah.
It pushed the theme of the whole Avengers world for the new book that's going to be debuting next year. And we got more with Thanos on Earth, with his son Thane, and Inhumans and the Illuminati.
Which I'm going to go ahead and say, I can't believe Thane was that gullible.
Nah.
I guess from my point of view, I'm not reading Avengers or New Avengers. I'm just reading this series as it stands on its own. And it just really felt like the Avengers go off into space and they build these massive armies and they're fighting these other massive armies. And spaceships are blowing up spaceships and planet after planet is falling. And suddenly Thor throws his hammer around the sun and it blasts through the body of this bug-looking alien guy. And now suddenly they all die.
That's right.
And suddenly everybody rises up and fights back.
Well, yeah, it was a rally cry. That's all that was. They saw
a builder could fall.
Right. So it was like, well, if that could happen, we could do it too. So,
well, look at it like this. They basically knocked out their biggest weapons, which were like the multiple Death Stars, right? Once they did that, you know, the playing field became a lot more level.
So basically, we need to ship copies of Star Wars to all the galaxies.
Exactly. You know, once they were able to destroy the multiple Death Stars, you know, and they took that capability out, all of a sudden, you know, it became much more superhero versus supervillain, you know, as opposed to like world beating powers, you know.
All hail Luke Skywalker.
You know, you joke. I actually had that in mind when Marvel got bought by Disney. I mean, when Lucas got bought by Disney, and people were talking about, oh, are they going to just start, you know, crossing and making crossovers? I actually thought, especially with Infinity Company, like, they could just take a sign Charlie Tatooine or something. You know, something could actually come out of that.
Oh, like, my goodness.
They end up on Tatooine for some stupid reason. Oh. Because, you know,
Lord.
And then get involved with that.
Don't bring in the midichlorians, please.
I kind of want to see MODOK and Jabba the Hutt have a stare down.
You know?
Oh, my goodness. But I'm pumped.
Tim, there's a book you write. Well, I'll try to write a book, but nope.
What I loved about this book is there's definitely a couple of like kind of like fanboy moments for like Cap, where they're just like, hey man, you know, make the call. It's your, you know, it's your call to make. And it's like, yeah, you know, you're basically like sitting in your chair cheering. You know, this is definitely my click of the week because I had a lot of fun reading this.
Yeah, and there's also a panel in the book that's probably looks like it's going to be a cover of a book next week, maybe or soon. That is an iconic picture in itself.
You mean, is it right up front?
Which one? The right there. Well, it was basically after there was like when they erected. Well, this is not a spoiler.
I got you. No, there's actually a splat, like a half splash page.
Yeah.
Hulk smashing one of the. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was that too. Yeah.
Hulk smashing the builder.
The builder, like right. You know, it's just a great, cool, like half splash.
Although I did enjoy Thor and Captain America drinking the Romulan ale or whatever.
You know, I was going to actually make a DS9 reference actually when you but I couldn't think of a proper one. So that's apt.
Nice, nice. So, yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed reading this book. Yeah, I see. You know, now I realize what panel you're talking about. That they're definitely going to be they're going to be calling back to, I think, on the cover of Infinity number 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I really got a kick out of reading this book. It was I had a lot of fun with it. Yeah, Thane is a little gullible, but he's a punk kid.
Yeah,
and that might just change.
He just got transformed, for God's sake.
Exactly.
Okay, what else we got? Punisher, The Trial of the Punisher, number 2 of 2.
This was disappointing. I read this. Anyone else read this?
I read it. I enjoyed it, but I was disappointed like where it ended.
Yeah, no, I thought the first issue was so much better. You know?
I just kind of got to the end of this one. And it's like, oh, that's it? Like,
yeah. Exactly. I thought the first issue was so much more, like, so much better paced. And so much better, it was just much more well done.
Well, and part of it was they set up to this big moment, like, okay, so Punisher turns himself in. He confessed to the murder of this district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this trial to see if he's mentally fit to stand trial. And he basically tells the district attorney the public defender who's set to defend him, I need you to stretch this out for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't tell her why, doesn't, you know, you don't know like what his plan is. You don't know why he turned himself in. You don't know why he's confessing to this murder. And so this one, of course, explains why he did everything, but it also, you spent so much time with the, why did he allow himself to get trapped? You find out why he allowed himself to get trapped, but then you don't see him actually escaping from the trap at the end. It just kind of ends with, this is the reason why he did it, and now it makes sense, but then...
He does escape from the trap, though. It's just, well, you know, not completely, but...
But the last page is him taking the shot that he's been, you know, working up to, but, like, I got to the end, and I'm like, well, now I want to know how he makes it...
Himself free. Yeah.
How we get to the next part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this book was for.
Right.
But it did make me, you know, after reading this, I'm going, I would read an ongoing Punisher. I didn't really care much for the last ongoing Punisher, but if Guggenheim were to write an ongoing, I'd probably pay more attention to it.
Interesting.
Well, too bad, because he's not.
Granted, yeah, except for that.
That's funny.
Because George Zone is writing Punisher now. Nathan Edmondson. Next up on the review list, Scarlet Spider, number 23, I have not read.
Anybody?
Anybody ever reading this? Cause, I mean,
I was reading a little bit.
I'm reading it now. Even though it's going to end. I mean, I've been reading it.
I read some of it.
Okay.
But he's fighting Kraven the Hunter. That's all you need to know right now.
How is Kraven the Hunter back?
Did he explain this once?
I don't know if we explained on the show, but...
It was mentioned, but...
He was his family resurrected him without him wanting to be resurrected. And the only way he could be resurrected... This may not be all accurate, but... I want to say they resurrected him with Kane's blood, I think.
And right, they wanted to use Parker's
blood. Yeah, they wanted to use Parker's, but they got his instead.
Well, same thing.
And that's the reason why he can only be killed by Kane.
Lame.
And he wants Kane to kill him so he can be dead again. But Kane doesn't want to kill him because Kane's trying to be a hero.
What? Wait.
He should call himself Abel and he might get killed.
So they use Kane's blood, so now Kane is the only person that can kill him.
Comics.
Yeah.
Isn't this the plot of Jason Goes to Hell?
Oh, Lord. That's comedy.
Probably. I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I don't know.
In that one. Okay, so basically. All right.
You're going into the
sidebar. In Jason Goes to Hell, they suddenly say that Jason, because he's possessed by this demonic spirit that keeps him alive, only by the blood of a Voorhees can you kill a Voorhees.
Oh, my.
So a family member has to find this sacramental dagger, and it has to be a member of his bloodline that kills him to send his soul to hell.
Was this before space?
Yes.
Okay. Never mind. I'm not going to even go.
Actually, the space one wasn't bad.
Oh, my God.
I heard, yeah.
Oh, God.
Superior Spider-Man number 20, which I reviewed. Okay.
This is on the list for being possible pick of the week.
Yeah, this is great.
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed Infinity 5 better, but I enjoyed this too. I'm really loving the comeuppance, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And people seem to like at least clicking links on it, because every time I do a Superior Spider-Man link, people, I think it's over 200 views.
They want to see whether you love it or hate it and agree with them.
No, they want to see if I'm going to spoil or anything. That's what they want to see.
Well,
I just loved him punching Black Cat in the
face. Yeah,
I know, right?
He did that to someone else, too, in another book, I want to say, earlier issue. Like, the first thing he did to the person was punch him.
And he knocks out her teeth.
Yeah, I was like, that was unexpected, but sure, all right.
And it's going to have lasting repercussions that's going to come back into play, like, years down the line, supposedly. Mm-hmm.
Well, I also love the scene in this one where Mary Jane tries to be all seductive with this firefighter guy and ends up with the firefighter dog jumping all over her and licking her face, and she's all disgusted. And
yeah, she was going to do that line and then got taken away from her.
Mm. Yeah, I like this issue a lot.
So let's take guesses on what was planted in this issue that's going to come to play a year from now. Is it going to be
the stuff with Carly and the Wraith is going to come up.
The what?
The Carly and the Wraith is going to kind of come back, because they went on to find out how did Doc Ock get all that money, and they found the link.
I'm going to guess the Parker Industries.
Yes, that too is going to come into it at some point.
Even though they could come up with a more creative name.
Yeah, well, you know. That's not a thing in, particularly in Marvel Universe, but, you know, ever.
Yeah. Okay. Superior Spider-Man Team Up Special number 1. Did not read it.
Nope.
Crickets.
I haven't read the other ones, but nothing's really happening in this series, so it's not that important.
Yeah, I haven't read the Hulk one yet. Like, I read the one from All New X-Men, and I enjoyed it enough. I just, you know, I started to read the Hulk one and just wasn't feeling it. So I just figured I'd get back to it at some point. But
yeah,
I mean, X-Men, who cares?
Blasphemous. Okay. Superior Spider-Man Team Up. Ultimate Comics X-Men number 33.
And this ends the mutant war in the Ultimate Universe. This is the last issue before they get into their Cataclysm tie-in. So they finally wrapped up the Jean Grey versus Kitty Pryde War of the Mutants.
Finally.
And, yeah, finally. And the best thing was, okay, so basically Kitty Pryde destroys the mutant world of Tyon, where Jean Grey lives. It was a world set up by Reed Richards that Jean Grey kind of took over, and it was a haven for mutants. And Kitty Pryde started Utopia, which is like this Indian reservation out in the middle of the desert. And the two were fighting each other because Jean Grey thinks that all mutants should be united under her, and she didn't want any mutants, you know, running off with Kitty Pryde, right? So she starts this war. And Kitty Pryde destroys that world, kills some mutants in the process. She turns herself over to the government and just says, you know, I need to stand trial for my crimes. And the U.S. government just kind of goes, you know what? Nobody cares. Like, we're tired of mutants. We're tired of dealing with you. You guys kill each other. We don't care anymore. Just go home. Just as long as you leave us alone, we're not going to bother you anymore.
Wow.
And then that was kind of the culmination of the story.
Wow.
Okay.
So how are you pleased with how it ended?
Overall, yeah. I mean, the war between the two sides took a lot of twists that I didn't expect along the way, and I liked the way they played out with the characters. I don't know if it makes a difference that I haven't been following Ultimate Comics for the last, you know, 10 years, 12 years, whatever, that Ultimate has been doing their own universe. So for me, I'm interested when characters take these different routes that they don't necessarily take in the regular Marvel universe, whereas I know a lot of people freak out when the characters, you know, end up somewhere different as far as the history goes. But I thought the way that they had the two nations kind of go to war with each other, and the way that they did actually show in the storyline how they would strategize against each other, how they would.
What, you mean you there know, was a schism? Where have we seen that before?
Yeah, but this one actually made sense and was well done.
Did it seem rushed?
No, not really. Because each move got progressively bigger. And so it got to the point where, you know, it's like, this next move is going to wipe out half of your people. Well, this next move is going to wipe out your nation. Like, it kept growing and growing. It got to the point where, you know, it was going to end everything. Like, either all of them are going to be dead with this next move, or all of us are going to be dead with this next move, you know. So as the stakes got bigger, it actually felt like the battle, you know, is going to have to shift one way or the other, and that's going to end it. So they built it up level by level as each side took their shot at each other.
That sounds potentially like the Black Panther and Namor stuff that could potentially have spun off into something.
So they finally ended the war, and everyone's at peace, and everything looks great, and now Cataclysm.
Yeah. Okay. Dark Geekus brings up something, going back to the Spider-Man thing. Kane switched costumes with Peter, and he ended up dying for Peter and bringing Kraven back. I like that kind of a theory. I like it. But I don't think so. I mean, it came with a clone anyway, so it didn't really it kind of moot at that point. But I like that.
Okay.
I think I remember that storyline. That's funny, though. I remember that.
Uncanny X-Force number 13.
Anybody?
They got a new artist on it, so I'm actually looking forward to reading it this month. But
nobody read it, huh?
No, yeah. I haven't read it yet. Okay. And the last Marvel book, X-Men Battle Atom number 2 of 2.
Wah, 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 wah.
On this note, Dort Geekus says that Superior Spider-Man plus X-Men plus the Hulk book is greater than Battle of the Atom.
Oh!
Yeah, Dort Geekus wasn't a fan of Battle of the Atom.
I thought it was great until this issue. I didn't like this issue at all.
So this one just did it for you.
This ending was just.
Yeah, this ending was rough.
So that was something basically saying that Battle of Atom was to give the X-Men something to do while Infinity War was going on. Does it kind of seem like it? That's the case.
Well, it's also the X-Men's anniversary or something, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
So it needed something to do. So. Let's see. What's the best way to sum this up without being too spoilery?
I thought that some of the characters, let's be spoiler free. Some of the characters made decisions in this book that seem out of character for the way they've acted all the way through the series.
Yes.
Perfect way to put it.
Yes.
Especially the epilogues.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Now I'm about to read this stupid thing.
Listen, read it because you want to know how it ends and how they plan on moving forward. Yeah. But just know that you may not enjoy like 3/4 of it. That's the problem. And, that going in.
And as Dort Geekus has brought up before, we still don't know what. I guess we can assume what happened in the future that the evil Brotherhood wanted to change, but even that's not clear.
Well, yeah, there's no telling that if it's going to do that or not, because it's just a timeline.
Well, you kind of have to go on this assumption that they know that because the X-Men of the past are in the present, that it changes something in the future. Because we saw what happened in the future. I mean, we saw the attack of the humans on the mutants, you know, briefly in like a future flashback, a flash forward, whatever. But they never explained specifically what it was that caused that to happen. Like, we don't know exactly why We just know that somehow they believe that that was the catalyst for it, which is kind of, it's kind of like a MacGuffin. It's just like, oh, you're the reason, but you don't know why, you don't know how, you don't know when, but just that's what it's going to be at some point in the future, so we got to stop it.
I'm trying to think of anything else worth mentioning. So there's four...
Let me just say that they're doing a pretty good job of making me dislike Cyclops more and more.
Well, okay, that's the point. It wasn't that hard already?
I know, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty easy already.
And Dork Geekus says 10 issues, and we still don't know why the Brotherhood time traveled. Yeah, and that's
Excellent point, Dork Geekus.
They just say
that's what I was bringing up.
Yeah,
I feel like that's going to be another event. Like two, because it feels like that all this is just going to get come to a head in some sort of time event.
It's just disgusting. At like $4 or $5 a pop to get these things, and just to be so disappointed, it's disgusting.
Or you can work in a comic book store and just read them without having to buy any of them.
It's disgusting.
So. Try to get your internship on at popculturenetwork.com.
Yeah, or I guess now that I think about it, it's Marvel, so we got review copies of most of these, although this last one they didn't send out a review copy of. So,
but they want spoilers.
Yeah, we had to read it when it came out because it's just like when you get that movie and nobody's reviewed it before the movie actually comes out, you know? It's like, you know, there's something wrong.
That's right. They're hiding it.
All right.
Demonic dragon? Anyway.
I think that does it for all the books this week.
I think so, too. So,
click of the week.
Click of the week.
Is that with last week also, or just this week and through last week?
We could take both.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything that happened. Let's see, did I read anything good last week?
Wait a minute.
Did anybody read Rex Zombie Killer?
No.
Okay, just thought I'd throw that out there. Well, now it's on your radar.
Let me see. I got to check last week's books.
And this week, because I haven't really read much from this week. Wow, what did I like?
It's kind of hard for me.
What's in the last week?
I did like Superior Spider-Man. I'll go with Superior Spider-Man number 20, since that's really the only thing from this week I've read that I can remember.
You didn't like Infinity that much?
I did like Infinity. It would be between the two books I reviewed. Go figure.
Mm. Gotcha.
I'll say Superior because, man, the drama just every week it's or every 2 weeks, because it comes out bi-weekly, the drama just keeps on building and building.
Right.
Oh, you know what? Ultimate Comics, Spider-Man number 28
yes.
from last week.
You stole my pick.
That was a nice ending, week. At least for now.
Dark Geek says, Wolverine's holier than thou attitude is annoying. He murdered his own kids. Scott killed Chuck. I mean, you can kind of say that. About the Avengers too, because they have that same. It's weird how that's almost cyclical in nature. Because the every time something comes out where it's talking about killing and Wolverine involved, the Avengers say that same thing, and there's been people that's in that group has killed people.
I don't know. It's different for me. It's different because you know when you're a hero that's got blades in his hands, guess what? You're designed to kill people.
Pretty much.
So, you know, if he's got qualms about you killing somebody, you know, about somebody else killing somebody, you know what? I can feel that, you know?
But it goes back to why you killed him. I mean, just killing somebody, you know, yeah, who and why you did it makes all the difference in the world.
Sure.
All right, what are the clicks of the week?
Yeah, you got my two. You got last week is Ultimate and this week is Infinity number 5.
Last week, I'm going to say Sex Criminals number 2. It was a good book. This week, because it's kind of a toss-up between Guardians and Superior Spider-Man.
I'm happy to hear that you like Guardians that much that it's up for your click of the week. So that's good. I'm gonna have to.
Well, I mean, this particular issue, I mean, I like the book in general, but this particular issue was, you know.
Yeah, because it's been losing me slowly. You know, like it's definitely moved down the pile to read. So.
Yeah. So I'm putting all those in.
Cool. How about you, Dirk?
Not this one. Let's see.
You're putting images up. Let me see.
Oh, exactly. I got to click on that now. Oh, the little pony.
There are two this week that I really, really enjoyed. And the first, I'm going to go with Itty Bitty Hellboy. Again, you got to read it. If you don't read any of the others, but read this one, you know. Okay. This one is definitely worth reading just for the fun.
If you read any book this year.
Make it Itty Bitty Hellboy 3.
Itty Bitty Hellboy.
But you did enjoy it.
There is another book on my radar that we haven't talked about that I really enjoyed. And I really enjoyed the first one that came out. And it was another one that all you guys skipped. So I'm going to go with Super. Issue 2 came out. This is a book that started as a Kickstarter and is hitting the stands as a regular series now. The artwork on the inside, Tim, looks like the artwork on this cover. So nice. You'd love it.
What is this now?
It's called Super.
You mentioned Super before.
Yeah. When issue 1 came out, I was blown away by how much I really enjoyed issue 1. And issue 2 is the same thing. Unlikely Hero Studios. And it, you know, when you look at superhero comics from third party, they always, you know, take little bits of heroes from Marvel and DC and kind of mix them together. And, you know, you kind of get that a little bit in this book, but then you also get characters that are completely original mixed in that change the dynamic of the teams and change the dynamic of how everything works. There's a lot of humor in this. And each character does feel like they have their own definite personality. So even if they have a character who's kind of a mix of Tony Stark and Mr. Fantastic, you could say, the way he's brilliant, he's a little older, but he's also full of himself. And he's got like that spunky assistant who keeps him grounded and, you know, just like Tony Stark does. But at the same time, he does feel original enough that you like him as his own character. You don't like him because he's a mix of these characters you're familiar with. And I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy about this book is that your first instinct is you say, like you look at this guy on the cover he's known as the Fire Ant. And so your first thought is, oh, he's like Ant-Man, Spider-Man mixed together is kind of what he looks like. And that's what you're supposed to think. But then as the story unfolds, he is his own character and he is different from those other characters in key ways that makes you like him as this character, not because he reminds you of those other characters. And I think that's one of the things that this book really has going for it, is I like these characters for who they are, not because they remind me of the other characters. And so Super issue 2, you know, I loved the first one a lot because it came out of nowhere. The artwork was beautiful. The story was good. And as much as I enjoyed it, I was also kind of afraid of the second issue. Because a lot of times you get that first issue that's really great, and then you get that second issue, and you realize they used all their creativity on the first one, you know?
It's a letdown.
Yeah. And this one held its own just as well as the first one.
Good.
Is the guy he's fighting on the cover by chance named Blitzkrieg?
Baron. I think it's Baron Blitzkrieg.
Oh, okay.
And they actually –
Well, it could be Blizzard Krieg. I don't know.
They do actually make some jokes about how he himself is pretty unoriginal, and they blame that on the fact that he's not a very good villain. I just love the book for what it does on its own, and the artwork is beautiful. And that's another one of those things that Baron Blizzard. That's his name, Baron Blizzard.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times you see these books and they have this beautiful cover, and then you turn on the inside and it looks like it was sketched by a kid in high school, you know. But this looks as beautiful and as well illustrated completely throughout the book as it does on the cover. And this is it's a longer book. It's 26 pages of story, and then you've got several pages of character sketches in the back. So you're getting a little more story than you do from your average Marvel and DC book for the same $2.99 price point.
Cheaper.
Okay. And it's on, let's see. Let me see if I can find it in Comixology.
Yeah, you can buy it digitally on Comixology.
Or because shopbcn.com.
And most likely your local store didn't order it.
Oh.
Right.
We ordered it. I mean, ordered a couple copies. We still may have a copy in stock.
Shopbcn.com.
Yeah. But, like, one of the characters is he's a speedster. The only problem is that his clothes always burn off, you know, when he's running.
Because no unstable molecules.
Yeah, he doesn't have that, you know, protective aura. So instead, he just wears, like, warm-up pants, like basketball players wear, and he just rips them off when he starts running. So he is the streak.
He's literally streaking if all his clothes are coming off, too.
Q-Ray Street Stevens.
Off topic, I'm just opening Comixology for the first time since they updated it for iOS 7. Looks nice, but I see the Iron Man Fatal Frontier digital first book. Makes me want to ask, have any of you been keeping up with the, they did the Wolverine Japan? No?
The only ones I've read are the Silver Surfer, the free ones, and the ones that came with Infinity, which were the Silver Surfer ones.
Okay. That was my question.
What happened with the spoiler, ding, ding, ding? What's going on with the Silver Surfer right now? I haven't read beyond, I think, the second one. Have there been only two so far? Or?
Yeah, there was only two.
Oh, okay.
So you're pretty much on it.
Up to date. Okay.
I dislike the Infinite comics, generally speaking. When I read a digital comic, I'm reading it to read the comic experience. It just happens to be on a tablet screen instead of on paper. I don't like where they try to do this cheesy, like poorly animated system where you've got the exact same, where you tap and the person moves a little bit. You tap and they move a little bit again. You tap and it explodes. Like, I don't like that format. Like, to me...
You're old, Dirk.
Yeah, if you're going to... Well, I mean, because it does... Like, you mentioned motion comics a minute ago. And, like, with motion comics, I don't like those either. It's like, make it animated or just let me read it. But I don't like these in-between things that they keep experimenting with.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing with the way Comixology does it, you kind of have that. It's just not giving you the extra motions anyway. So it is a little, doesn't seem to be necessary.
And it's almost to the point where one of the things that Mark Waid said when it C2E2, when he was talking about digital comics, is that he's like, we're not taking away the reading experience from you. You still tap. You still have to flip the page in order for it to go. And I'm looking at it. It's like the way you've set it up, I want to hit play and just let it move on its own, because that's what you're trying to make it do. You know, it's like, just give me the page on the screen, because that's what I'm reading if you want me to flip. But if you're going to do these little animated things on there, then just do the animated things, you know. Mm-hmm. Make your poorly animated cartoon if that's what you want to make. But, you know, that to me, just that Infinite Comics style just doesn't work for me.
Okay.
I shouldn't have opened this app. Seeing all these, like, graphic novels that DC has on here.
Yeah, they just put them in there, like, last week or so.
Yeah, I remember reading about it. Must resist. Oh, speaking of which, I did order the hardcover for the Batman Death of the Family. I got it on Monday. Hopefully I'll open it this weekend.
Well, you got to peel off the cover and look at Joker's face with no skin on it.
Is that on there?
Yep. Hmm. That was one of the draws of the hardcovers, that they've got the dust jacket on it is like this clear pull-off, kind of like that Wolverine cover we were looking at earlier, where it's got Joker's face. He's got that, his face was peeled off and he stretched it back on. Right. And that's what the dust jacket is. When you take off the dust jacket, you see the skin underneath and you see his face without the face.
Because all the cover right now is just him sitting at that computer that's on the cover of whatever. One of the first issues. Okay.
right.
So alrighty. That is the show for tonight.
We've been on for a while tonight, guys.
Yeah. Let me bring up one or two things. Sorry. Real quick.
It's cool.
If you're a video game fan, Batman Arkham Origins is out, and yes. Lego Marvel Super Heroes is out. I've played the Lego one. It's all right. It's cool if you like it. I keep hearing decent things about it. But if you're so inclined, go for it. They're out there. Also, if you are a writer, National Novel Writing Month, also known as NaNoWriMo, is tomorrow. Starts tomorrow. So if you are a budding writer, you may have a draft. You have a story idea in mind that you want to flesh out. This is the time to kind of get motivated to do it. And basically what happens is you take the whole month of November, you take aside every night and churn through the book, just write the book out. No editing, no nothing other than just write out whatever idea you have. And, if you have some sort of, I think the page count is like 50,000, but you don't even have to go there. And then you can just put it out if you want to, or go back and edit it into the, but it's a good thing for writers, to kind of get into and just kind of get yourself in the mode of writing, which is basically what that's for. And the website theme is, which I just put in chat, NaNoWriMo.org, NaNoWriMo.org. So check it out if you're a writer and just so happen to have something in mind you want to tool around.
There you go.
All right.
So, and I just checked, we have two copies of Super still in stock.
Nice.
Is that on your website?
At shoppcn.com, two copies of Super number 2 still in stock.
Boom. Get to ordering, people.
Get on that.
So make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at DClickNation. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat, RODDYKAT. And what's that one? News Nerds Need.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say, but hey, you'll get it.
News Nerds Need.
That's his news account.
Yes.
So with that, we'll be back next week with more Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Yay! Yay!
Yes, Dark Horse! What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No. Yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee. Don't give a as long as them pages are hot. And it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison. Just